I want to share a few things with you today. You know, hopefully, the idea this morning was to pray, is to get our hearts right with God. And it doesn't always have to be just us and God. It could be us and another person. It could be anything that is standing in the way of us drawing closer to God. And those are things that are important. And I asked you about 2 weeks ago on an email to pray, to start working towards this moment in time. And see, the disciples had that moment themselves, but they they blew it. They truly blew it. And I want to read to you today. I want to read from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors.' And then he says, 'But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not the one that sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves.'" You know, when we see this scene played out, we stop and think about what this scene looked like, we come to realize that it happens again and again and again. Just as the disciples did that night, it happens again in our own lives. We've seen it all through history. Who is greater? Who should be in charge? Who has the best idea? And as human beings, we seem to always want to climb the ladder. We seem to always want to have the best idea. Have you ever noticed that? No? Okay. But think about that. Our livelihoods are built around that. Our jobs are built around that. Our schools are built around that. And when it comes to Christian service, though, that seems to creep in, and our Christian service seems to be built around that. And we seem to get this hierarchical plan in our minds. We have a hierarchical view of how it should be. And I know we do it. Because we look at the top down, and we look at you got the pastor, and then you got the elders, and then you got the deacons, and then you got the deaconesses, then you have the ministry leaders, and you have the rest of the board, right? But there's a problem with that. You know, we have that in the world. We have the president, we have the vice president, we have senators, and we have congressmen, and in today's political environment, we're learning that there's an upper house and a lower house, and we have the judicial system, and then we have the people. Who's supposed to be in charge? But it happens in our church. And you have to ask yourselves, do you elect leaders so that you can be led, or do you elect representatives so that you can be represented? We're making the mistake in our political environment today. Let us not make that mistake in our churches. We do not elect leaders. We elect people to represent us. So you have to ask yourself, who in here has a vote? Who votes in church business? Who can vote? Man, every hand in here should go up. You all vote, right? How many of you have a voice? I know you have voices because you guys call me all the time. And you exert that voice, and that's a good thing. The real question is, does one vote outweigh another vote? I'm the pastor, right? So the pastor should trump all the votes, right? I love it when you guys shake your head. No. No, because when it comes time to vote, I step off the platform, I step away from being a pastor, I step away from everything. In fact, 99% of the time, I never vote. My elders will tell you that, my deacons will tell you that, hopefully my deaconesses will tell you that, and you should see that. I don't vote. I serve. And I've come to realize as the more years I pastor, the more wrong I am about how I think and how the church thinks it ought to be. And you know what? The church is usually right. Maybe the elders have a greater vote, maybe. Maybe those that have expensive homes, maybe they have a better say than you that have a poor home. Maybe those that give more money and tithe and offering should have a bigger voice than your voice because, well, you can't afford to. Maybe you're on a fixed income. Is that how it works? No. Every member has the same voice. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how long you've been a member. If you're a member of the Nixa Seventh-day Adventist Church, you have a voice. And you have the same voice in the Iowa-Missouri Conference, and you have the same voice in the general world church. You have one voice, one vote. Every member here has the same calling. Did you know that? We've all been called to serve. It's that simple. We have all been called not to be served, but to serve. And that's something we should really take to heart. Jesus set the example for us over 2,000 years ago when he made the statement, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? And then he turns it on him and he says, yet I am among you as one who serves. And I learned something this week from a great theologian. I got to figure out how to share it with you sometime. But that service came, it began before Lucifer was ever created. I'd never seen that before, but it's something wonderful. If I can figure out how to give it to you, I'll give it to you someday. Christ has a servant's heart.
Amen.
And it shows. He gave his life for you and me. Not just for the rich, not just for the poor, not just those that have been elected leaders, for everyone. Christ clearly outlines the nature that we should all have in our hearts to serve. Serving. Literally, it's the act of servant. It's a verb used as an object. It says served or serving, to be of service, to work for, to be useful or of service to help. To go through, a term of service maybe. To render active service to a sovereign commander. To render obedience or homage to God. To perform duties in a position maybe. But it's still to serve. And I can tell you, the higher you think the position is in your mind, the greater the servant should be serving. I bring this up today because, well, this affects all of points of our life, and it affects our hearts more than anything.
Amen.
Verse 24 says, there was a dispute among them. Have anybody ever had a dispute? No? We dispute all the time, don't we? Man, my idea is better than your idea, and his idea is better than his idea, and her idea is better than their idea. It always is better in your own mind. Man, I got great ideas, and guess what? They get shot down all the time. But it's okay. It says, now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. Christ makes it clear we are not to be hierarchical. We're not to elevate ourselves above another human being. You know how we know that? Because Christ didn't even do it.
Amen.
That prayer for the last 2 weeks should have been, Lord, give me a servant's heart. Let me not argue with my brother and sister. Let me see their view. Is it not he who sets the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. We all come from a different place in this world. You know that? All of us. And I'm not just talking about just sitting here in the church and we think, oh, well, we got refugees in the church. We got people that come from the Ukraine. We got people from Moldova. We got people from Russia. Yeah, we got people from the Philippines. We got people from Guam. We got people from France. You want me to go on? Africa. We've got somebody here that's Turkish. We all come from different places in the world, and we all have different ethnic and cultural backgrounds. And that makes it difficult. Because we all think that, well, you ought to think this way. My ethnic background is hillbilly. It's that simple. Hillbillies are always right in their own yard. But I had a grandfather that was French, and I had a grandmother that was an Indian. You think that was a peaceful house? Absolutely not. But they loved each other somehow. Amen. And that gives me hope, because every one of us can love one another. Amen. We're all right here, right now. And we've all been called by the same God. We've all been given the same task, and that is literally to go to all the world, to serve. Amen. Every task. I don't care where you come from in life. I don't care whether you were a pastor in a previous life, whether you're a drug addict in the previous life. We've all been called to do the same job, and that is to serve. You know how I know this is intended? Because we're united at the foot of the cross. And if that's true, we should be united right here, right now.
Amen.
That's what today's about. That's what our foot washing ceremony is about. That's what Amazing Grace is about. That's what the gospel is about. If we can't be united here, how do we expect to go to heaven and be united there? How can we expect to be any different there than we are here? And if we're united here, we should all be looking forward to the day that Christ returns.
Amen.
Because in that day, we should all be united there. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is a matter of some, but exhorting one another." That's lifting one another up, encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. I guarantee you the day is approaching.
Amen.
That day is coming so fast. And the question is your heart ready? The other question I have is your heart ready to do the mission that we've all been given, to serve? Are you able to get up and serve any other person in this church? Are you able to get up and walk out of the doors of this church and go out into your mission field and serve any human being that's walking down the street or walking down an aisle in Walmart, no matter who they are, what they look like, or where they come from? Is that your heart? And that'll be a struggle, I guarantee it. But it's a struggle that we should all have in our heart, to want to serve, to win one more soul.
Amen.
Because they've already been bought with blood.
Praise the Lord.
And that's the gospel. There's good news, not just for the rich or the poor, for the person sitting on the other side of the aisle, It's for all people.
Amen.
We should encourage them. We should lift them up and let God change their lives. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together today, Lord, as we prepare for foot washing, and Lord, as we go through the assembly that you've called us to, let us heal wounds in our hearts. Let us lift ourselves into a servant's position. Or maybe should I say, let us kneel to a servant's position. Let our hearts be cleaned and washed of the worldly ways. Let us, Lord, this day be a light unto all. Let us glorify you in what we do, not glorifying ourselves. Lead us this day, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.